It's all good here in the studio. We've got Don Sheldon and Tom Studer with the Licata Way. Guys, how are you?
Very good. Fine, thank you.
Joel Matusak's in here as well. Just giving Joel a quick shout-out as well since he is in here with us. Well, guys, great to have you here in studio. We have so many different things that you know we could talk about here, and I'm not exactly sure where to start, but I guess let's begin with that Golden Acres project. I know that's something you guys are pretty excited about. For those that aren't aware, what are the basic details on the Golden Acres project?
Yeah, sure. This is Don. I'm a trustee with the Nord Family Foundation, and we've been working with two other foundations, the Black River Education Wellness Foundation, as well as the Community Foundation of Lorain County, to form a collaborative to assist with efforts in the community. We got a lot of great agencies doing a lot of great work. And one of the things we've identified through this collaborative is there's some needs in the community that we need to bring to the table. And one of the principal things we need to do is try to get the agencies that are working so very hard working together, because when there's space between them, when there's cracks, the patients fall through them and are lost to follow-up. So the county commissioners, who have a great asset in Amherst, the old Golden Acres Nursing Home, which previous to that was a tuberculosis hospital, by the way, for those that have been in the community for a long time. And it's been shut down for about 2 years, 2.5 years now. And so it's an asset there waiting for a purpose. And we have a need in the efforts that everybody's making in the coalition and the community at large to address the opioid issue. And we see that as a great opportunity. The commissioners were able to secure a $500,000 capital funding from the state to help boost the project along. The commissioners and the foundations are looking at the opportunity to add to that. And we believe we can turn that into a facility that can fill some of the gaps and help to coordinate services in our efforts in the collaborative and the opioid crisis. Tom?
Well, and part of what's exciting is that there are several services that are not available currently in the county, including detox and men's residential. And this would be a facility that will perfectly fit in trying to expand the continuum of care and put those services in place.
One of the nice things about it, having it been an old tuberculosis hospital and then a nursing home, its setup is one with rooms. Much like any hospital would have. They're smaller than a traditional hospital room, but they're still very usable and have been used historically. And it lends itself very well to the things like residential housing that Tom was talking about. There's also a space in there. There's a industrial kitchen. There's a large dining area. There's room for administrative offices. It just gives us a great opportunity. And the hardest thing to do is going to be, we probably have two or three times as much stuff to go in there as we have space, even though it's a very generous facility in size. Our hardest task that we're all working together on now is to try and say, what are the very critical things that we put into that building to help solidify our treatment opportunities in the county? And how can we bring those in the most efficient and effective way?
Yep.
And it sounds like the way that facility is already structured, you won't have to go in and gut that. You won't have to do too much restructuring because it already has a lot of the elements you guys are looking for.
Well, correct. It does. It's well suited. Now it's been dormant for a couple of years. There are repairs that need to be done, as with any aging building, and that's what the capital funds from the state will help do. It can use a new roof, it can use a new HVAC, and it can use an elevator and some paint and freshening up. But yes, we hope to be able to do as little wall moving and major internal renovations as possible so that we can keep the cost of bringing this building up to speed as reasonable as possible.
About how far away do you guys think you are from opening that up?
Well, this is several months away. because now that the capital funds from the state are there, some of the work can be started on those basic things, the HVAC, the roof, which needs to be repaired early on in the process, and then the cleanup inside. So this, we're several months away for sure. And much of it will depend on the final layout of the planning of the occupancy, the different programs we'll have in there. But it's going to take a little. Unfortunately, we could use this building yesterday as far as our needs in the community. We will all work together to get it up as quickly as we can. But, you know, quite frankly, projects like this take several months at the least.
Well, especially when you're talking about bringing a facility up to code. That's not an overnight process, no question about that. Well, it's not the only new facility you guys have. You guys also have the Lakota Way opening up in Erie County. Is it Sandusky? Is that where this is opening up?
Currently, we're working with a number of partners in Sandusky, including the county commissioners, Pat Chenegal, and the health commissioner out there. And we're looking at a full continuum. Pete Shade, the health commissioner, has opened up a 16-bed detox facility. We will be opening up a wellness center, a Lakota Way Wellness Center, in the health department. So we'll be delivering outpatient services. And then there's a beautiful facility right next door to the health department that will house an 80-bed women's recovery housing program. And that facility will service an entire region and meet the needs that currently are being unmet at this point out there. We're out there for the same reason that we moved into Medina County, is that in 2013 we started developing, as a result of the opiate epidemic, some opiate treatment-specific programs, and that many organizations have not followed through. They're still delivering services the way they have for the past couple decades. And what we've learned in the opiate epidemic is the standard addiction treatment just wasn't working. And so we needed to develop these models. And Erie County had stepped up and said, we would like to have those models here. And they've made this facility available to us.
How does the opioid epidemic and the effect that it's had on Erie County compare to the way it's affected Lorain County? Because, of course, you know, here we hear a lot about how it affects Lorain County. How does that compare to how it affects Erie County? You see a lot of similarities there?
Exactly. I mean, there is, I would say, virtually no difference. This entire region, speaking of northern Ohio, is experiencing the same level of overdoses. We've gone from probably 8 overdose deaths a month in the state of Ohio to well over 12. In Lorain County, we're seeing 2-plus overdose deaths every week and an average of 12 overdoses a day. So the situation's getting worse, and we anticipate it's going to continue to get worse, especially with stronger drugs such as fentanyl now on the market. No difference in Sandusky.
And beyond the deaths that occur, which is just devastating, and for the last 2 years in Lorain County, we've had 132 deaths from drug overdoses each year. But besides that, it's a huge economic burden on the community. As part of the coalition, we brought a consultant in, Alterum Institute, to study Lorain County, look at our resources, what we had, we didn't have to address this, and the economic burden. And they estimated the total economic burden per year of the opioid crisis in Lorain County is $200 million per year.
Wow.
And we are being very transparent with the work of the collaborative, and we have that full report from Alterum Institute posted online in our website. And if you were to go to LC for Lorain County. So www.endtheepidemiclc.org. You can see that full report posted there.
What kinds of statistics in that report really stand out to you about the state of Lorain County? You know, you guys have thrown some numbers out there before about how it's affecting so many people on a weekly basis. You mentioned the economic impact of this as well. The state of Lorain County, and I know you guys are working to try and make it so that those numbers are going to go down and try and make it so that you have all of these facilities out there where people can go and they can get treatment. And if you were to take a look at the state of Lorain County today, where would you say you guys are standing?
Well, I'd say we've got a lot of good work being done, and we have a lot of good work yet to do. One of the things we asked Alterm to come up with is to let us know about some of the best practices that are helping other communities be successful. What are some of those best practices that they're seeing elsewhere in the country and the world that we don't have here in Lorain County? And some things percolate pretty quickly to the top. We have virtually no inpatient detox beds, and that's something we need to address. And that's going to be a big hurdle, but we'll get there. We don't have a needle exchange program at this point in the county. We don't have a methadone treatment. Psychiatrists are hard to come by. There's a number of things that we believe are vital to our success that we're working to help get established.
Yeah. And I think in terms of current need or current demand, we're still seeing an upward trend in terms of people requesting or needing treatment. We went from just 2.5 years ago averaging 24 new customers coming into our doors seeking treatment for the first time each week. Now we're up to 54 each week, and that trend's continuing to go up. Epidemiological studies indicate that we won't even plateau with the opiate epidemic until end of 2019. And then we will plateau for a while, and that demand will still be there, and we're not even there. Don mentioned that we were at 132 overdose deaths last year, and that's after all the life-saving efforts due to the Narcan that's been out there. It would have been double that had it not been for that legislation that Gail Manning had put through. So we're still seeing the demand going up, the need for more intensive and longer duration treatment, and other treatment resources that will need to be dedicated. And on the other side, we need to do more with prevention. If we don't get to these young people before they make this life-changing decision to experiment or use, we're going to be continuing this battle for a long time.
What kind of treatment efforts are out there as well? I know you've mentioned detox centers, detox facilities, but what kinds of treatment facilities and what kinds of treatment efforts are currently available?
Currently, in this county, we still utilize several out-of-county detox centers to send people just to medically stabilize them. Then they return, and at that point, they need rehabilitation. And that can be delivered either as a partial hospitalization, a day treatment model, intensive outpatient treatment, and the need for residential treatment or recovery housing. We work very closely with Road to Hope, a recovery housing organization in this county that does a fine job. Many of these individuals need to be in a safe, drug-free environment when they begin their rehabilitation. And so they will be in that rehabilitation anywhere from 2 to 6 months and then need to step down and utilize other services such as peer support services. And in this county, we've got Let's Get Real, who does a fine job. You know, it's taking an entire team effort and multiple agencies to really impact these individuals, and a full continuum has to be available. And that's what we've been working to provide.
And so, as Tom was saying, the full continuum is everything from education and prevention, don't let it get started in the first place, to immediate care, Narcan, emergency room, detox, treatment and recovery, housing, job retraining, and get them back to work. Mm-hmm. And that's how you break the cycle. You have that continuous plan. And if we just try to shortcut it and these individuals get back into their old environment, they'll just have a recurrence.
And it seems like a lot of folks always have questions. They don't know what kinds of questions that they might have, but sometimes they're afraid to ask those questions. So for those out there listening right now, wondering what probably the most convenient resource to use. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind would be a website. Where can they go to ask that first set of questions?
We have a website, thelocadaway.com, and that any question that is posted will be responded to. Did I get that wrong, Joe?
Thelocadaway.org.
I am sorry. Thelocadaway, LCADAWAY.org. Any question that would be posted will be responded to within 24 hours. We also have a helpline, which is, and I should check before I say this, 440-989-4900.
Well, I think those are the two first steps, right? I mean, if you have questions, those will be the first two resources to use. Go to the lakadaway.org, the LCADAway.org. In radio, I guess we got to spell that out, right? Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in studio. This is definitely very, very informative. And, you know, I know you mentioned a few moments ago, Tom, I think you're working towards trying to get this to plateau in the coming years.
Well,
actually, on a much lighter note, speaking of marathons, not sprints, you guys are Tribe fans, right?
Absolutely.
Go Tribe.
All right, go Tribe. I mean, Corey Kluber against Jake Odorizzi tonight down in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's a given.
Got to get a nice outing from Corey Kluber tonight to get that series off on the right foot, because if they win tonight, at the very least, they split that series with the Twins. Well, gentlemen, Don, Tom, thank you guys both for coming in studio.
My pleasure. Thank you.